from KQED.
This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny, and in this Forum segment, we want to focus again on the ongoing negotiations between BART and the unions as trains are running, and also talks are continuing, and look at the AC Transit labor negotiations. Workers there had essentially threatened a strike for today, which also now is on hold due to actions taken by Governor Brown. And joining us to update us and actually go into some of the analysis of what's happening in these two labor negotiations, Michael Canabatuan, who is transportation writer for the San Francisco Chronicle, and he joins us by phone this morning. Michael, glad to have you back on Forum. Good morning.
Good morning.
Also, glad to have back Dan Brecke. Our own Dan Brecke is a blogger and online editor with KQED. He edits NewsFix, KQED's blog about news in the Bay Area and beyond. Good to have you here, Dan.
Hey there, Michael.
Let's begin with you, if I may. BART and the union agreeing again to extend these talks. Commuters getting more and more anxious and upset about what's going on. I mean, ridership's down. It's costing a lot of money. And where are we? Well, do we know where we are?
I'm not sure we do. And I don't have anything left to say after all that. That's a good summary. We have a nightly ritual now of waiting to find out whether the trains will run in the morning. We have some odd cultural developments there. People are watching a live TV feed from the Caltrans building in Oakland to see the mediator come out. We have a new celebrity, George Cohen of the Federal Mediation and Conciliation Service, who has a very dry wit and has very, very little to say about what's going on, except that some progress is being made.
And do we know if there's any progress, Michael Canabatuan, as far as AC Transit? I mean, there was a 72-hour notice about a walk-off today, but now essentially things are in a cooling-off period.
They are. They're not quite in a cooling-off period. Under the law pertaining to transit agencies, the governor has the ability to apply a 60-day cooling-off period, but first he has to appoint a board that conducts a 7-day inquiry. And that 3-member board has begun its work. I don't know if they've yet scheduled a hearing. There's usually a hearing that goes along with that where they look at both sides and they present the report to the governor, who decides whether or not a cooling off period is warranted. And I'm not sure I know of any cases where he's decided that it's not. So I think we can expect that to happen, which would mean that there could not be a strike until 2 days before Christmas, and that probably is not likely.
There was a rejection of two contracts, and there's a lot of speculation that maybe what is being discussed now is focusing more on work rules. Do we know that?
I do not know what the focus is at the table at AC, and I'm not sure that they really do either. I know that the AC management is kind of frustrated because they've had two deals that they've hammered out with the unions. The unions have taken it to their members and even recommended that it be approved. And both times they've been voted down by large margins, more than 200 votes.
And Dan, you mentioned George Cohen, the federal mediator, as far as the BART's labor negotiations are concerned. And Tom Radulovich on Sunday said, this is take it or leave it, and we've come to the end of the road here. Pete Castelli of the union said, this is going to take a Hail Mary. I mean, there's a lot of rhetoric in this, isn't there?
There's a lot of rhetoric and there's a lot of melodrama. And, of course, we talked about this a week or so ago. And what everybody would like to know is exactly what's going on in there and what the numbers are, for instance. What are the numbers they're arguing over? BART did release publicly the last best and final offer that they put on the table on Sunday. As you said, the board president, Tom Radulovich, did come out and say, listen, this is all the money there is. This will add $57 million to the money we're spending on labor, and that's all we got. The Hail Mary comment, and then we've had three Hail Marys in a row. So it would be great to know what the numbers are. Again, you mentioned work rules at AC Transit. There is a hint that that's what's happening here. And when we're talking about work rules, we're talking about things like conditions under which overtime can be applied and that kind of thing, scheduling. And we don't really know any of the details of that yet.
And safety. There was a lot of talk about on television about the Daly City backroom, for example, having urine and mice and things of that sort.
Well, you know, this safety has been something that the union has started to talk about very publicly in June, and they've never really made the sale to the public or the media, I have to say, as a member of the media, that that's really where the conflict lies. It's a very real issue, but it was interesting that that report about the Daily City break room came out just last night when we're 6 months into the negotiations.
And that's not the official break room, it turns out, either.
No.
So let me bring into this conversation Clarence Johnson, who's a spokesperson for AC Transit, and good to have you with us. Mr. Johnson, welcome to Forum.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Also want to welcome Yvonne Williams, who is president of the union, the Amalgamated Union, and we have her with us by phone as well. Good morning to you.
Good morning, and thank you for allowing me to participate.
Glad to have you participate. It's Local 192, and let me go first to Clarence Johnson. I mean, this delay on AC Transit is going to presumably, I think you've said publicly, buy you enough time to negotiate a contract.
Well, yeah, I mean, it certainly gives us a little more time to get a clearer understanding of where Yvonne and the ATU are coming from at this point, and I think that's, you know, real key, obviously. It's certainly a big relief, clearly, for our riders as well, who now don't have to worry, at least for the next 7 days, about scrambling to find some alternative means of transportation. So we're pretty happy about it.
And Yvonne Williams, could you maybe clarify for the public where you are coming from on this?
Yes, certainly. And I would say that we've made our position clear to the district by putting forth proposals at the table that reflect what our membership needs are. So I beg to differ if the district has a miscommunication or a misunderstanding as to what our proposals are and what our needs are. But currently, one of the main issues that our members have discussed with us is that the $283 per month premium is too much for them to absorb after coming off of 3 years of extreme hardships. The hardships economically were 6% on every dollar that we made went back to the district in the first year. 5% of every dollar we made went back to the district in the second year, and 3% of each and every dollar we made went back to the district in the third year of a three-year contract. And in addition to that, there's no secret that ATU and the district have been addressing the issues of safety with our operators and our riding public.
Well, we should mention, I mentioned before that there were a couple contracts that you passed on, largely because of safety and health care?
The health care is a primary issue. Safety, of course, is also a large issue with us. And we had two tentative agreements. One tentative agreement was August the 6th, 2013, and then September 25th, 2013. And it was rejected August 17th overwhelmingly, and October the 1st equally as overwhelmingly by our members.
We're talking about ongoing labor negotiations. AC Transit had a strike set for today. It's been postponed by Governor Brown. And we're also talking about the ongoing negotiations now led apparently by George Cohen, the director of federal mediation and consolidation going on between BART and its unions. You can join us. And in fact, we'd like to hear from you. I'd like to hear how you, the public, is reacting to these ongoing, I think as Dan Brecke correctly said, melodramas and the uncertainty and the anxieties. Our toll-free number is available now. It's 866-733-6786, so feel free to join the program and join in the conversation. Again, our toll-free number, 866-733-6786. And, of course, there are other ways you can communicate with us. You can email us, forum@kqed.org, or go to our website, kqed.org/forum, or tweet us. And our Twitter handle is @KQED Forum. And Michael Canabatuan, let me get you on record here just for a moment to talk about Governor Brown's role in all this, and particularly in terms of what we might see unfolding as this, as these impasses continue.
The governor has a very limited role. I mean, aside from using his persuasive skills and charm, he's basically restricted to the 7-day investigation and the 60-day cooling off period. He doesn't have the ability to order a strike stopped. That goes for BART and AC Transit. He only has the cooling off period, and it's a one-shot deal. He can't order extra ones.
And could I go back, if I may, to you, Clarence Johnson, and now that we've had some of the real issues laid out from the perspective of the union, get your response?
Well, yeah, you know, I don't want to get into a whole lot of back and forth on those points per se, but I will say this much. Two things, really. The $283, we're talking about that for a family. That's not the in terms of the contributions toward their health care. That would be for a family. That wouldn't be for every person. And that would only be enacted into the third year of the contract. And even considering the payments that the union would now have to pay toward their health care, our calculations show that the average operator, for instance, would still have a net increase of annual pay of more than $4,000. So it's not really fair to say that the cost of paying for their health care is going to be offset. It's going to, you know, be offset by the raise that we're offering. It's just not true. It's like comparing apples and onions. It would be the same as saying that you're going to get an increase, a 10% increase in salary, and then the cost of, say, a loaf of bread is going to go up by 10 cents. So 10%. So that's going to offset, you know, your 10% raise in salary. It's just not so. Again, the other issues, they were all put on the table. They were all negotiated. Certainly, the union leadership thought they were good proposals, good ideas. They were hammered out over a 7-month period. This was not something that was done in the course of a day or a couple of weeks. And again, the union endorsed it. At least their leadership did, and the union leadership went to sell it to their membership. So again, we were thinking we had a pretty good deal. It's not a deal necessarily, I might want to point out, that the district was happy with, but by definition, negotiations mean compromise, and I think that's what we tried to do.
And Yvonne Williams, disagree with that? You don't feel that they were compromising?
No, I actually feel that Clarence is correct in most of his statements. However, it's not lost on the union that these two tentative agreements were rejected overwhelmingly by the members. And even though we are a part of the, you know, union, and we are also under the same contract as union officers, the democratic process worked its way through, and the members disagreed overwhelmingly with those tentative agreements. And so the will of the members has given us a clear instruction as leaders to go back to the table and seek those improvements that they so desperately desire. Now, when it comes to the medical premiums, it's true that for the operators, there will be a decent net gain at the end of the day if you don't consider in the inflation in the Bay Area. However, for the members that are at the lower wage scale, it's actually not a net gain at the end of the term of the contract if they should choose the coverage that's up to $283.
And again, Yvonne Williams is the president.
Yeah, so it depends on where you are.
Excuse me, president of ATU Local 192. Dan Brecky, what do you think? Who's farther apart here, AC Transit or BART?
Well, it's hard to say. I think that's a really interesting point, that this has gone to the membership twice, and the membership is speaking pretty clearly. You know, I went through a strike once. We were out for a couple of weeks, and I'll tell you, most of the people at the end of that were desperate to go back to work for obvious reasons. And you know, all you can say is that, yeah, if the democratic process yields that kind of result, then more work needs to be done, or the democratic process is going to be revisited. And that's one part we haven't talked about, is the fact there is a pretty strong move afoot, apparently, to change the law about public transit strikes in California. And we'll see how all of this stuff plays out.
Again, Dan Brecky edits KQED's blog about news in the Bay Area and beyond, NewsFix. And let's go to some of your calls here. Nate is first up. Nate, you're on.
Yeah, I just find it ironic that right now we have Republicans up at the up in Washington holding the country hostage with the debt ceiling, and then supposedly liberal unions locally holding the whole Bay Area hostage from a traffic perspective. I mean, I think that it's just, you know, it's pretty ridiculous. That'll be my first point. My second is just that I've heard a few BART, officials mention, or union members mention, that they know that Bart's got the resources. And, you know, I would just have them go into the normal working world for a day and realize that the income statement has nothing to do with your current pay. You know, you don't get to tell Apple that they're making so much money that you get a raise. So it's kind of irrelevant, sort of like what the budget looks like in terms of what people want for raises. And then finally, I would just say, you know, it's time for unions to realize that pensions are dead. The rest of us pay 401ks. It costs us a lot of money. And, you know, we're subject to the whims of the market. And that's where they're headed. And the sooner they get their arms around that, the better off we're all going to be.
All right, Nate, I appreciate your voicing your opinions here. I want to go back for a moment to Michael Banatwan, though, because Michael may lead the latest trip to Asia because of the BART strike, but he's just left. Does he know something about this getting resolved that maybe we don't?
Well, we're all wondering that. I mean, I think he knows that progress is being made. You know, ever since Monday, there have been long meetings. George Cohen, the federal mediator, or the head of the Federal Mediation Service, has managed to keep them at the table for a long time. In fact, one thing I should mention is that as far as I know, they are still at the table from yesterday. They've been there for nearly 23 hours now, and apparently there was just someone who called, an ambulance was called for her because she was feeling exhausted, and I guess they took her home, someone who was on one of the bargaining teams. But they've been in there overnight. I mean, when I left at 1 a.m., I left because a BART official told me that the only way they were going to get a deal before they left was if they were there for 17 hours straight, and it sounds like that's the strategy that's being employed.
And here's another call. Denise, you're on. Good morning. Welcome to Forum.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I'm for the workers, and however, I will say that I believe that concessions do have to be made. But in my opinion, I believe that the workers for the last, five, 7 years have made concessions, and we're the only ones that have come to the table with concessions. And in my opinion, this is going to be kind of sort of a problem going forth. You know, workers were asked to make take cuts and lose their pensions and lose medical, and now things are better. You know, we need that back. Also, I've been a union. I am union now, and I've been in private industry, and I'm going to tell you that without a union, there's not much protection from the workforce. So I'm for the workers, even though I do believe that both need to make concessions, but at this point, I think that it's time for the workers to be able to make a living wage, especially in San Francisco. Thank you for the call.
I thank you for that. Yeah, Dan Brecke, how much of this really has to do with the cost of living here in the Bay Area? I mean, when you really crunch it down and deconstruct it.
Well, it's an issue for everybody, everybody in the workforce. I mean, we just heard from two people who you might interpret as being on two different sides of this. Clearly, you know, people feel on a daily basis that it's hard to live here, and because of the expensive housing mainly, and that there is a point to be made there also about how much, how long the unions, especially in Bart's case, have gone without a raise, and that's, you know, that's really been their central argument all the way through this.
But we've been hearing all these figures. And in fact, let's see if we can nail them down about BART, about average salary for a BART worker, $76,500 in terms of gross pay and 12% pay raise offered on top of that. I mean, that's coming from BART, of course, but those figures have been repeated over and over.
You know, I'm always a little hesitant to embrace this one. While average salary versus median salary might be one way of looking at this, I can't give you the answers to that right off the top of my head. One of the, you know, there is this idea abroad that the BART workers are grossly overpaid. I mean, if you look at the tenor of comments on our blog or any news site, if you look at Twitter feeds, that is a very common refrain. All I'll say is it's hard to take one number out of context. People are doing things to try to do data visualizations to show how the salaries are really distributed there. I just have to think, though, that if you applied the same lens to any workforce, even here at KQED, perhaps, you might see the same kind of inequities that people are pointing to here.
Well, what about management salaries, Michael Cavanaugh-Twin? BART management salaries?
You know, one of my colleagues at the Chronicle, Kevin Fagan, did a survey of salaries at BART and for both the union employees and for management, kind of compared to other large transit agencies around the country, and found that, you know, especially when you factor in benefits and the low costs of pension and medical benefits at BART, as well as the salaries, that both managers and the union people are near the top, are among the best paid in the country, but are not at the top.
Let's go to more of our callers. We get John on next. John, thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Hi there. You know, first I want to say that I actually come from a family, a Teamster family. I'm really sympathetic to the you know, struggles of labor, but I also think that if you look at the Bay Area and the way it is poised to grow over the next 20, 30 years, and you look at the BART system now, that there is an incredible need to expand it to meet the demands of our future growth. And in the past, a lot of money would come from the federal government for capital improvement projects like that. But because of this incredibly destructive ideology of slash and burn the federal government that's taken place, you know, just now looking at the debt ceiling negotiations, and especially if you look at the fact that a lot of those people on the right who don't like using federal money for projects like this are also very, you know, resistant to mass transit projects specifically and prefer to fund things like highways and energy drilling. I think, you know, it's becoming increasingly more important for local jurisdictions like BART to come up with the money themselves. And, you know, the offer that's on the table is very generous, and in better times it could be generous, but I think looking at these long-term extension needs, there needs to be some kind of willingness to compromise on the part of the unions.
All right. John, I thank you for, again, expressing your opinion here. I want to get some opinions that are coming to us via email. Craig writes, after driving a bus for 19 years, I had to work about 17 years to get a good schedule, and the toll on my body and soul from dealing with the public all day definitely has earned me my retirement that I might not even be able to physically enjoy in 6 years. Workers are forced to drive longer with less breaks, and safety for the public is compromised. The benefits for transit workers as far as health care should be as complete and generous as possible. The chance for operators to exercise or maintain their health is limited due to the hours we are forced to work. Lawrence writes on our website, it's unusual for union members to reject two contracts recommended by their leadership. Is there a dissonant element within the union at work here? And another listener, Amy, says, I just wanted to bring up the issue of the cost of living in the Bay Area, which we've brought up, of course. But she goes on to say, I know a lot of people feel that they make enough, but employers like BART and AC Transit are what keep working families in the Bay Area with a chance of educating their children and allowing for some social mobility. I think it is key to protect these jobs and their benefits. I support the strike. Another listener writes on our website, AC Transit has rules that allow employees to get paid for multiple hour breaks if they occur in the middle of a shift. Is the union relenting on rules like this? And if so, I would guess that this is a strong reason why senior workers would strongly oppose the contract proposal. Can I get you on record here, Yvonne Williams?
Sure. And on which point would you like me to...
Well, just that last one about rules. Is there any relenting on multiple hour breaks in the middle of a shift and that sort of thing in this negotiation?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. There is a variety of run structures at AC Transit, but I do want to comment that, yes, we do work long hours, and we need improvements in our schedules, so that the time that's actually listed on the schedules can be enjoyed by the operators. What we're experiencing now is that we're not able to, within the laws, meet the schedule demands that's put upon many of the operators. And yes, we do suffer a variety of musculoskeletal injuries. And yes, we do, like other workers, suffer a variety of stressors. So, yes, service could be improved and safety could be improved by focusing more on the schedules and realistic schedules operators can keep recuperative time during the day.
And I wanted to mention that there's a link on our website to the data visualization chart that Dan Brecky mentioned, which charts BART salaries. But back to AC Transit and back to you, if I may, Clarence Johnson. The union leaders, like Von Williams, have said that their medical costs would be too high and that the offer from management would not offset the concessions that they've already made in the last contract.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, that's one of the biggest misconceptions, I think, about this this contract. Clearly, first off, you have to understand that we're not even talking about, at this point, taking a percentage of or having the union pay a percentage of their medical costs. It's a flat rate. And the flat rate was at the request of the union leadership. So, in other words, no matter how much their health premiums increase, the amount that they pay will be the same. Currently, it should be noted that ATU membership pay nothing for their health care, and I think that's pretty much unusual in this particular climate these days. That's number one. Number two, again, it'd be plain wrong to suggest that the increase in salary somehow is going to be eaten up by the fact that they're paying a flat rate, a little bit of a flat rate for their health care coverage. It just doesn't pan out. The figures don't pan out. Again, as I said earlier, roughly $4,000 in salary annually will be received by the operators if they agree to this contract. We're talking about a 9.5% increase that actually is compounded over the 3 years, so it probably works out to a little bit more than 9.5%.
Clarence Johnson, let me just come in here for a second because we've got seconds left, and I want to go back to Michael Cabanatuan and find out from you, Michael, AC Transit negotiating today, and how long's the cooling-off period, and what's up next for BART negotiations?
You know, the BART negotiations are continuing. My guess is that they're probably pretty close to a deal, given that they're still talking. AC is in the middle of the, or is just beginning the 7-day investigation period, which could lead to a 2-month cooling off period.
Thank you, Michael. Michael Cabanatuan, transportation writer for San Francisco Chronicle. Thanks to Dan Brecky, blogger and online editor for KQED, who edits NewsFix. And thanks both to Clarence Johnson and Yvonne Williams. Clarence Johnson, spokesperson for AC Transit. Yvonne Williams, president of ATU Local 192. We're going to meet the author of Orange is the New Black in the hour ahead. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schrem and Maria Minetti Schrem, founders of Clos Pegase Winery, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.